Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios this Friday morning is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
I'm telling you, man, what an awesome, awesome week. We'll be with you in just a moment. We'll give a shout out this morning to Sharon. That interview is going to go great up there in Denver. The favor of the Lord is on you. Wherever you set your feet, God is going to give you the land. Be confident. Give a shout out also this morning to Eddie and Maria. Oh, I understand. Laughing yourselves to sleep. Listening to VFN Radio, you guys just make my joy happy. We'll give a shout out also to all those that stood for the school bus monitor in Greece. Karen Klein, over $300,000 you raised for her to be able to take a vacation or retire. I'm telling you, there's goodness out there. There's
wow, that's amazing.
There. Go ahead, kick back, get your cup of coffee, put your little cream in it, and some of that foo-foo stuff.
I like foo-foo.
Yeah. Yes, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Jesus. Woo! May your name be glorified in all the earth. We'll give a shout out to Jackery this morning. Oh, my goodness. Coming to America in 2013. I am so pumped, man. I can't wait to see you. Welcome. Welcome to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studios is Pat Hamilton.
Good morning.
Oh, my goodness. You know, just so many things are happening. I do want to say to you this morning, you know, as you're listening, to be encouraged, and that's our goal. Our goal is to encourage you in the Lord, to encourage the saints, and to remind you of the goodness of God, the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus Christ, and his willingness not only to forgive you, but to forget and to restore the years the locust had devoured, that his plans are good for you, that he has a construction site going on in heaven called your mansion, you know, and of course the song says just over the hillside, you know, and that's pretty cool. But if you're down in the flatlands like we are in the Gulf Coast, it's just kind of a straight shot. They have a place called Cottage Hill. It's kind of hard to know you're on it. If you pull out your level and put it on the ground, I think it's got like a little bump thing going on. Listen, God's got good plans in store for you. You know, Satan is a liar and he's a father of lies. And there's many people that like to use his, surrender their tongue over to him, like James chapter 3 says, and their tongues are set on fire by hell. And they like to just kind of spread some things your way to cause you to forget that you win. You win, you win. You win through Jesus Christ. So be encouraged. You know, this is time that we have in our eternal life. It's already begun the day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And this is time that we can actually do for him in a way that we can remember, oh, I'm so glad I did for him as we enter into heaven. You know, you think about this. You think about this. You think about it. That, you know, there's a lot of people that look back and they go, man, I wish I would have. You know, mm-hmm. I wish I wouldn't have let fear hold me back.
All right.
Makes me think of Rick Joyner's prophetic book about, you know, the epic battles. Not epic battles, the last day, but the final quest, you know. And it just took like two or three demons of fear to hold back thousands of Christians.
Right.
You know, and of course, the one who's afraid the most is going to go, I am not scared. I just have these obligations right now. I'm not going to be able to.
Right. I got bills.
You know, it's like, you know, I always said, you know, when God was calling me into ministry, that when, you know, the disciples threw down their nets, you know, they saw Jesus. Jesus called them and said, come. And they threw down their nets, which is their business, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they followed them, mm-hmm. you know. And they're in business with their father, you know, sons of Zebedee. And then that, you know, your father's probably like, where are you going, son? We're in business together. No, you didn't hear about that. Right. But also the question I always had was, well, did they owe money on their nets?
Right, I know.
Did they owe money on their nets? And there's so many people held captive because of debt. I mean, he tells us that we're slave to the lenders, you know. Mm. And so be very careful. I was seeing America right now. Was it like 45 cents on every dollar? And so, you know, free yourself up from all those things that hold you back from obeying God, because this is our one time. This is a one little time.
One shot.
Yeah, I mean, we could still be living as long as Methuselah. You know what I'm saying?
Thank goodness we don't.
I mean, look at us now with a few decades behind our belts. You know, it's like,
oh my gosh,
we'd be probably pathetic in about 800 years, right?
I know, I would be.
Of course, I don't go into all those details and stuff.
Yeah, right.
It's not time to talk about the Nephilim. Yeah, I was just reading. As a matter of fact, you know, I'm reading I'm reading through the Book of Mormon, believe it or not. And because it appears that a lot of believers are not only not reading the Bible, but they're not reading the Book of Mormon.
Right.
And we have people that are standing up right now going, you know, their God is my God, you know. And it's like, well, first, you know, you haven't even read God's word. So, you don't want to jump into the other. And God's been stirring my spirit that here we are, you know, in a country that was formed around people that were crying out for God, you know, the pilgrims who were coming to find a place to worship God freely, and eventually, you know, ended up through a progression of, you know, the United States, and then the Declaration of Independence, the U.S. Constitution, and the Bill of Rights, and all these areas, they're acknowledging God, that all of our rights come from God, and they're signing it in the name of the Lord. And just, you know, all about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And then the progression of time. And it always happens. I mean, it's not like, you know, you're not going to get away with it forever. You know, as long as we're down here, where Satan has his throne,
right.
As Revelation says, is that even when Jesus was being tempted in the wilderness, he said, all these kingdoms have been given to me. Mm-hmm. If you bow down and worship me, you know, I'll give them to you. And so, I mean, we're not trying to have something forever, because the kingdom of God is in the hearts of men. You know, where the worldly viewpoint is, they're trying to actually take over, you know, nations and kingdoms. We're actually asking people if they want to surrender their heart mm-hmm. to God and allow the king to live in them. And then the kingdom begins to grow inside of them for the very fact that they exist and they're under the king, Jesus' authority. Whether you're a president, whether you're a congressman, senator, father, mother, you just operate under the leadership of Jesus Christ. Totally different. It's called inside out.
Right.
Religion is outside in, and a relationship with God is inside out. And you can only change the world.
Good.
Yeah,
that's good.
Good
stuff.
Right. And that you can only change the world from the inside out. And if we're trying to make the world right by what we're telling them to do, you know, and we're not trying to win their hearts, you know, and that's what God wants. You know, he wants our hearts. And so I want to encourage you this morning. We have a time to be able to go out and tell people about Jesus, you know. And when we get to heaven, when that moment happens, that moment of time, I mean, the first thing we're probably going to do is go for those that have been going after God and working, trying to do as much as they can. You know, at that point, you know, you take your last breath. I mean, mm-hmm. you've done. It's all you can do.
Right.
You probably go, phew, okay. You know, Steve will talk about days of our flesh and. You read about God's generals, and most people who are just aggressively going after God, they lived about in their 40s and their 50s, and you know, some do make it past that. But their bodies just get attacked by the enemy. I mean, you look at Paul talking about, you know, I hope my flesh didn't get in the way of what was going on. And boy, I can relate to that. And so, you know, second heaven, Ephesians 6 and 12, Satan, we always call it second heaven. I hate to give him credit for anything else. And that, you know, he's not going to sit back and not buffet your flesh. I mean, he's going to come against you. And the thing about it, and there's nothing like a fighter in a ring. You know, you love those fights, you know, whether maybe it's in a movie or whether it's real, that they're boxing and then the underdog, you know, he sticks in there and he fights and then it looks like it's totally over. And then he stands up with one swelled up eye and his lip hanging out to the left and he goes in there and then he hears something, says something like, Adrian, you know, and then all of a sudden he begins to just fight, right. You know, that's so beautiful, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's time for the church. The church has to begin to fight. We're going to have to wake up. We're a sleeping giant. You know, we're sleeping. We've been lullabied to sleep with men's traditions and philosophies, but we need to wake up. You know, with God, if God is for us, who can be against us? You know,
that's right.
And but you got to first wake up. Mm-hmm. You know, and the thing about it, we're going to be talking about this morning, you know, is that, you know, when you wake up in the morning time, some people need alarms. You know, some people need a couple alarms. I remember my oldest daughter, you know, when she was waking up in the morning, she needed like about 4 or 5 alarms and she had to hide one. And it would just go off and go off and go off and go off. And I was like, oh my goodness, get up. And so now she's got 4 boys, so she's up at like 4 a.m.
Yeah, right.
And but there's an alarm. You need an alarm to wake you up. And so here, imagine if the church, just dream with me for a moment. Let's just act like this is, you know, not a probability. We're just kind of theorizing about the possibility. Imagine if the church was asleep, just sleeping, which means, I mean, if they're sleeping, I think there was in the military, we had like a 3-second rule or something like that. If you waked a man up for his watch, that whatever he did for that 3 seconds, he wasn't responsible for it.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, if he jumped up and like whack, you know, because he just jumps up and does some, you know, military maneuver or thing or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So we normally just throw things at their right. And it was just kind of unspoken type thing.
You wouldn't do that, would you?
Yo no hablo ese inglés. And then he, but once you woke him up for his watch, then he was a fierce soldier. Some of them. And then, but you didn't know what he could do until he woke up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he wasn't doing nothing until he woke up. And so you can't judge a church that's sleeping.
Right.
I mean, you don't know what it's going to be like when they wake up, you know? But what happens is you need an alarm. You need an alarm to wake them up. And then, I mean, you find out at that point. I mean, sometimes you have employees that, they get an alarm, they wake up,
right.
And they're just as effective awake as they were asleep.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But there are some that they needed their rest or whatever happened. They're just sleeping.
Mm-hmm.
And a little sleep, a little slumber.
A little folding of the hand.
And poverty will take you like a bandit, right?
It's
Proverbs. And so I'm believing, and that's why we're here. We're here to sound the alarm in hopes that the church... And we're not talking about buildings. You know, church is not a physical building. A church is people. We are the building of God. Know ye not that God's spirit dwells inside of you? That God's building a spiritual temple, a spiritual house, and we're the living stones coming together in it. And so, you know, disassociate a mindset when you're talking about the church that we're talking about, you know, a beautiful building, you know, up the street that's got some beautiful stuff, and if you can't find it, just follow the billboards. Anyway, that's cool, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about you. You know, you, if you're a believer, you know, and we want to sound the alarm. We want to sound the alarm to wake up the church, because I believe, that's just what I believe.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that when the church wakes up, when they wake up, you know, first of all, we're going to be able to identify them.
All right.
So, wow. Look, oh my goodness, you know. Secondly, that they're going to begin to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. They're going to begin to hear, because we've seen this. They're going to begin to hear what they say. And then they're going to begin to respond to the voice of God. And they're going to begin to march in an army, a spiritual army. Mm-hmm. And they're going to begin to fulfill the mandate of God on the face of the earth, you know? Mm-hmm. And they're not going to be all this division and all that kind of stuff, because they understand now church wasn't all those things. Church is the body of Christ, our brothers and sisters. And it's that third army that Rick Joyner talks about in his book, The Call.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
right?
And we're all there's ranks and there's things that are happening, but we all appreciate what God is doing in the context of that. And when we walk into a city, we leave it better off than when we came into it. So that, mm-hmm. I believe that day is coming. And so this morning, you know, we want to sound the alarm, and we want to sound the alarm about, you know, what's taking place. And I guess the first thing I want to say is, well, I want to go. Let's go ahead and go to this break. And we come back from this break, I want to talk to you about this morning's moment of wisdom. But with it, we're going to go share with you some prophetic dreams. And that's the future in advance. God is saying what is about to happen. And I'm just going to go for it. I'm going to be able to share you some things today. And we're going to do this over time. It should sound an alarm. You should know what's going on, because God does nothing unless he tells it to his prophets first. And it's get ready. Good days are ahead. It's going to be the best of times and the worst of times. But it's going to be the best of times for those who love God, who want to see men one to him. And because nobody listens like a man with a 125-mile-an-hour wind blowing in his face and his roof flying off.
Right.
It's like, what did you say again about, you know? We'll be right back. You know, quite often, you know, we're looking and we're searching. We're trying to find out, you know, maybe this will actually make me feel better. Maybe this job will fix me. Maybe this relationship will fix me. Maybe money will fix me. Maybe education will fix me. Maybe medication will fix me. I don't know what it is, but something we're always trying to, we don't consciously say, hey, I need a fix. We don't consciously say, I have a hole in my heart and I'm trying to fill it. But the truth is, if we really studied it, if we really thought it through, the truth is that we have a hole in our heart and we're trying to fill it and nothing's working. And I'm going to tell you something, that journey that you went on, that you went to relationship after relationship, you went to job after job, you went after money, you went after fame, whatever it is. And it leaves you not only dry, but it leaves you shameful. It leaves you like, I'm not worth anything now. But let me tell you something, that was nothing but a distraction. That our God, through his son, Jesus Christ, can actually cleanse you from all that. Don't worry about it. It's only religious people who will tell you that God won't accept you. That's like the Pharisees. That's the whole reason why Jesus came for us. You know, you've got to meet God through his son, Jesus Christ. There's nothing more powerful. As a matter of fact, we shared a few of our stories at meetmyfather.org. We've shared a couple of them just to find out so you can get the different perspectives of how, you know, the people that God saves. You know, Paul said this. He said, the reason why God saved me is because I was the chiefest of sinners. And by looking at me, you can see how big his grace is. There's enough grace for you. You've got to meet my father. Go to meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. You've got to meet him. I'm so excited to have Steve Kalaszewski with us on the LVFM radio today. I'm glad to have you here.
I'm glad to be here.
And there's people out there right now that, I know you're brilliant now. I mean, because you're so educated. I mean, you just graduated from University of West Florida. You've graduated from the Vine Fellowship Network University. I mean, you're about to go plant a church. You've already did church work in Florida, but you're going to go to Pittsburgh. I mean, you're just, you know, walking on water now. But imagine if you would.
God. Thank you, Jesus.
There's somebody out there listening right now via the radio that they slightly felt like, you know, I had a call, but immediately they looked at themselves and they looked at their work that's even come to pass, and, you know, they started doubting themselves. Talk to that person right now about how VFNU could help them out.
Wow. If you really feel that God's just really speaking to you or just speaking in your heart, VFNU is the resource that you need, because I totally relate to you, because when God found me, I had gone through the laundry list of everything that the world offered. And I knew that as soon as the message of Jesus Christ was shared to me, I knew that's exactly what I wanted. And God just began to just take me on a journey of just revealing himself to me. And no matter what he revealed to me, it just made me more hungry. You just gave me a greater desire. And when God began to speak to me about VFNU, I was like, I have no idea what that is, but I know I want it. And if it has anything to do with God, sign me up. And in that, it was just like, each day was overwhelming because it was like, oh my goodness. I'm like, wow, like this is, but it was overwhelming in a good way. And, it's just so God, right. God gives you the tools. He gives you, just so many revelations, just so many levels of his word that are just, he's just so good. And, VFNU is just, I mean, I still have all my notes, everything. I look back on it. And even in that, it's encouraging when I look back on it. And it's like, I remember, I think I was talking about with you right after I graduated, and it was like looking back over an old photo album of all the revelations. It's just like, oh, I remember this one. I remember this one. Oh yeah. I remember when God spoke to me in my abiding time about this, and it was just,
isn't it amazing? So you can gather all the information that you want to, but there's nothing like the revelation. It's so empowering, and that's what VFNU is about.
Yeah.
You know, it was revealed from God.
Yeah.
You know, it's not like, you know, you might be thinking like, I got to go take my English class. I got to take my algebra class. It's just the revelation of God, and it's anointed. You know, and so you walk into it probably thinking, you know, well, I got to get this information so I can, you know, get to the point where I could minister, maybe shepherd God's people or whatever. And you walk in, the first thing you go is like, whoa, right? Right?
Yeah.
And then you finish that while, right? And then you go the next thing, you go like, whoa, you know, it's just, he's so awesome, isn't he?
No matter how much God you have, there's more.
There really is. And if you want to find out more, you want possibly interested in, you feel a call on your life, you want to know more about possibly getting into leadership, and maybe you want to be feel like you're called to be a pastor and you want to be trained, just come out to go to vfnu.org. That's vfnu.org, and you can find out more. Welcome back to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and joining me in the studio is Pat Hamilton. We are talking very specifically right now about an alarm. You know, sound the alarm on my holy mountain. You know, we used to sing that song years ago. And we would sing it like, woohoo! And we were singing, you know, sound the alarm on the whole. And we didn't realize, for whatever reason, that maybe because we're not tall, we didn't get it. Is that was a terrible thing? It was a warning.
Right.
It was a warning. It was.
Oh my goodness.
We were like, dance down the realm on the holy mountain. It's like, dude,
I remember that.
Yeah, yeah. And say, oh my goodness, we've got to, you know. And so the Lord is sounding an alarm. You know, he's telling us, he's warning us. You know, I mean, think about it. If he could just, you know, just go whack, you know, and it's over with.
Yeah.
And but he does nothing unless, you know, he tells it to people who can hear and repeat what he says, which we call that a prophet. And he does that. So if we hear what he says, we can actually turn before
it happens.
Yeah, before it happens. And so today's wisdom moment, you know, it is the 22nd of the month. And we're going to be speaking on that very thing. It is Proverbs chapter 22. And verse 3, it's very important. This is an accurate word for the warning. It says, a prudent man sees danger. This is the word of God. Now, this is not somebody's, you know, 4 points in the farewell sermon or anything like that. I mean, this is the word of God. So he's explaining to us. I don't know, when you hear about the law, so much of America is just integrated in the Word of God, because you'll hear about the prudent man, and that comes from the Word of God.
Right.
And they talk about, well, the prudent man would do this or the prudent man would do that, and so we base our law system off what the prudent man would do, you know, which is, you know, a wise man. And he says, the Word of God says, Proverbs 22:3, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Which it looks like to me, first of all, that if we're prudent, then we can actually make some adjustments,
right,
and not suffer. You know, because it's the simple, you know, or the foolish one that just says, yeah, whatever, mm-hmm. you know, we're America. Nothing could ever happen to us. You know, but I mean, I got my PlayStation 2, my Xbox. What could go wrong, right?
Right, right.
I don't know the power being cut off. Anyway, so he says, a prudent man sees danger and takes refuge, but the simple keep going and suffer for it. Think about it. I mean, just without me even mentioning anything prophetic right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you just pause and you look up from your TV, mm-hmm. if you look up from your, you know, electric device, whatever's got your attention that you're not looking around, mm-hmm. and look around a little bit. First, look at the trees and look at the sky and realize that, you know, that puts us in a place like Romans chapter 1 says, without excuse, mm-hmm. because we can see the invisible qualities of God from what is made, and then start getting perspective, then look around and notice it's not good. What's happening right now is not good. Secondly, notice that if you're in the Word, and you can get in the Word by choosing to be in the Word of God, you know, not only just hit it every now and then, stay in there with God's Word, abide, you know, mm-hmm. go to iabide.org if you don't know how to actually get a good plan. We've got a plan for you. But that, you know, there's a storm being fashioned. There's a storm being fashioned. I mean, think about it. You can go to the beach and you could take sand. There's nothing there. But then you could start making a sandcastle out of that. So you're taking the sand, those typical sand that's always there, and then you're fashioning something with that. You're making something from it. And next thing you know, you have a castle. That's there. Mm-hmm. Might never look like a castle, but you know.
Right.
Then you take clay, you know, and just a block of clay, and you start pushing it around, and you know, and some people, you know, make you know, beautiful busts and things like that. I think I made an ashtray, and it was kind of, I don't think it even held that. And so, you know, when you're a kid and you're in school, right, and you're fashioning those type of things, and so, I mean, so you're fashioning something, and what the Word of God tells us, that if we, that when he'll begin to warn us and tell us, and our Holy Father who loves us will bring, allow, no matter what they're telling, don't listen to nobody who's not walking or listening, reading, talking to you from the Word of God. And the only way you can find out if they're accurate, if you read the Word yourself, you should compare everything, definitely everything that we say, but everything everybody says, to the Word of God. You should be in the Word of God. You should verify Hebrews chapter 12 when he says, you know, consider hardship as discipline, that God, the creator of the universe, is treating you as a son, you know, and mm-hmm. think about that.
Right.
And it says, and no father, you know, only a bastard, a fatherless son, mm-hmm. is the one who doesn't get disciplined, right?
Right.
King James says. And so, you know, when you're going through stuff, I always say, you know, how are you feeling? I never felt like, more like a son in all my life.
Right.
So we got so many hardships going on. And it's a loving father saying, you know, and it might not be because you're actually, something's going wrong. It's just, he's, you know, he's directing you to a different place. He's saying, listen, I don't want you to do that anymore. This is what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. And it's just so much easier just to, you know, get that. Because if you misunderstand what God's love is for us, when all of a sudden hard times start happening, the enemy, not only do you have the hard time, the discipline of the Father, then the enemy twists it and said, well, you must be terrible, or it must be bad, or something. And what only thing any father is really wanting is repent.
Mm-hmm.
First go, I was wrong, Dad.
Right.
I was wrong, you know. And you can even be religiously wrong, which may be worse than wrong. I don't know. I mean, that's pretty, you know, that's who Jesus dealt with the most,
right.
Religious wrong. And you say, I was wrong. Say it with me. I was. You remember Fonzie from the Happy Day?
Yeah.
He could not say. It was amazing. Just say you were wrong, Fonzie. Say you were wrong. I'm. You know, and it's just practice it. I mean, if you had difficulty, you know, saying, if you have difficulty humbling yourself, you know, look in the mirror with no moose. You know what I'm saying? With nothing, not all fixed up. Look at your mirror. And just go, practice. I was wrong. You know, forgive me. I was wrong. And once you get rhythm to it, then you go talk to the people that you've been talking to and been leading, And you go to them and says, I was, and then look down what you wrote down. Wrong. You know, and then that's all you got to do. And then God will just totally begin to restructure everything. And the believers, you know, Christians, a true Christian can relate to how we all make mistakes, and we're all, you know, we can do our best, but sometimes we do wrong. And that's why we have Jesus, and Jesus, you know, did what he did and could forgive us. And start by saying, you know, I was wrong. And somebody was recently talking to somebody, I forget who it was, but they changed their whole ministry, just turned when they realized, you know, then they say, I don't know what that was. And that's a very important thing. I really believe it. Mm-hmm. Don't try to explain whatever that was. Just mm-hmm. don't. You don't have to. Why? You know, right. Whatever, you know, this is where we're going. That was wrong. And I'm saying that for one big example. Is, and we'll be talking more about this, you know, as we're getting specifics in regards to Mormonism, because we have people who are leading God's people, lots of God's people, that are standing up and telling the world, which includes God's people, that this Mormon is my Christian brother. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're saying that.
Right.
And right now, if you're listening right now, you could think, oh, well, what's wrong with that? Why is he saying that? Well, there you go, right there. So stay tuned in the future when we start talking about it. You know, we don't, you know, I want to get along with everybody, you know, but I'm not going to, there's only one God.
Right.
You know, and when it comes to who's God and who's Jesus to you, that is the ultimate thing right there. And, you know, and I can, you know, we can live together. We can, fight wars together on behalf of our country. We can do all these different things. But in regards to my stand for Jesus Christ, you know, Jesus is Lord. He's the mm-hmm. only way to God. And if me telling you that, you know, offends you, you know, there's nothing I can say about it. I'm not going to not say that, you mm-hmm. know. And we have to be, and so I think the worst lie of all, as we talk about, is a religious lie, because when they start using the same names, but a different Jesus.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And so with that, you know, we'll talk a little bit about these things coming. First of all, that's a huge sign. A huge sign is when we have, you know, two people running for office in our nation, you know, and one is says that he's a Christian, and that, but all of his fruit says, you know,
He's not.
And he's very not loyal to the teachings of Jesus. He's very empathetic towards those who are against Israel. He himself has stood and apparently, you know, threatened Israel and mm-hmm. his behaviors and things he's doing. And that an empathetic towards a religion that denies Jesus as the Son of God and empowered the Muslim Brotherhood, you know. And so that's like, okay, not good. And then the other situation is, oh, great. And I'm not saying that this one is probably a great father, a great man. I mean, just to know him personally, you would think, he's just so cool. I mean, he's a cool dude. Mm-hmm. And, you know, very intellectually stimulating and all that kind of stuff. But when it boils down to God, mm-hmm. we can't, you know, have no differences here. And then we have the other one who's running. This is our two choices.
Right.
Is obviously an astute businessman. Mm-hmm. Seems to be a real great husband and a great father and all these wonderful things. And he's unapologetic towards who he says Jesus is. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But he's Mormon.
Right.
You know? And that is the hope of a Christian nation right now. Those are the two people that are running for the leadership of this country. And this is the thing that really bothers me, that the church is saying, well, this is good. This is good. It's like, no, that's a sign. That's a sign that we've got to a point right now that we're in trouble.
Right.
We're in trouble. And with that, you know, we've been hearing very specific prophetic warnings. And when you find out, you know, what, you know, some of these things that you're going to hear, I mean, you're going to hear, you know, very specifically in Christianity, America, Islam, and Israel, you know, that those that you can subscribe to VFN TV, it's a free subscription. You get access to that. And you also can get access to prudent preparation. And that's what we're talking about, you know, the word of wisdom. Mm. You know, how does a prudent man prepare?
Right.
And we have something for you just to begin to stimulate your thought patterns, you know, and begin to think, you know, how do you prepare? And it's not about, you know, hunkering down and, you know, all that kind of crazy stuff we've heard in the past. It's just be prudent, you know, be prudent. And the first thing, you know, I think about is that, you know, when I was in Savannah, I was in Savannah, a beautiful old city, and it was pretty neat. They had the ovens and things out there where the communal cooking used to take place. They had two different stairwells, Pat, that goes up into a house. I think they're called arms, welcoming arms or something. So you can imagine a house that's kind of got a kind of a tall basement that's up a little bit. The first floor, you got to walk up steps and imagine two half rounded staircases coming out. Maybe I'll find one and put it on the VFN TV blog if we can find one today. But you have one on the right and one on the left. And what happened was, this is how far America has gone.
Right.
That the men would go up one side and the women would go up the other side. The reason why is because if a man saw the woman's ankles, she'd have to marry him.
Ankles.
Ankles. Ankles. If he saw her ankles,
right,
you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
He'd have to marry her.
Oh my goodness.
There'd be a lot of marriages going on right now.
Oh my.
Oh my goodness, I saw your ankles. And so that was the mindset of America when we came over here. Things have really changed, would you say?
No, definitely.
Right. Okay, we want to expound on that right now.
Move on.
But so it's, anyway, this all this history and all, you know, the founder of the Girl Scouts, it was from there. A lot of different things that happened in Savannah. Another one is Paula Deen, you know, she's from Savannah, Georgia. Man, don't you just, oh man, I love the way she talks. And
so who was Paula Deen?
Are you serious?
I've heard you say it many times. I don't know who she is.
I want you to write in. I want you to write in to VFN Radio and you tell, you know, Pat, who Paula, everybody knows Paula Deen. She's like, honey, you got to make some biscuits with some butter. I'll tell you. She was on the Food Channel. She had two boys. And she had this, we were getting off the track here. I'm going to tell you this.
Again. Okay.
And she had this phobia, this fear and this phobia. She couldn't go out, but they needed to make a living. So she started making these sandwiches and sending her boys out to sell these sandwiches. And eventually she got over this fear and started a restaurant. She has a restaurant there called A Lady and Her Two Sons, I think it's called. Mm-hmm. But she just cooks like we like, you know.
Country cooking.
Like butter, green, right. Collard greens with cornbread and deep, deep Southern. And, you know, we sound Southern down here, but when you get to Savannah, they're Southern. And she's just funny. You know, she's just real, real.
Okay.
I gotta send you. So y'all could send something to him. You got to know Paula, man. You got to know Paula. And I think her husband's name is Bubba. I don't know.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, he's was a sub, what do you call it? Tugboat captain and all that kind of stuff. And anyway, she does really good business and all that. She's just really, really funny. But anyway, I was in Savannah, and I went to sleep one night, and the Lord showed me America. I was in Denver. I was in Denver, Colorado. And I'll give a shout out to our Denver listeners out there that, and I kind of knew where I was. It was a place that somebody had been before earlier on, and God was kind of giving me perspective from their perspective. And I was standing in Denver and I was looking over these flat lands, you know, and I didn't understand the flat lands that are right, you know, east of Denver. And so I'm looking, there's a big dark cloud in the sky. I mean, it's just huge. It's humongous. I mean, it's just major. Mm-hmm. You know, you probably can't see anything but this darkness cloud up. It's way up high. But and then you could see the clear, lit, you know, open ground. So it's almost like there's still sun or light underneath all that.
Mm-hmm.
But from that came a real thin, I mean, like real pencil thin tornado. And it was just kind of really just small and insignificant and all that. And so everybody begins to go, oh, look. And we're looking at it because it's like some anomaly, you know, so it's kind of strange. And we're watching it from a great distance. And as we're watching it, Pat, as we're watching it, because you're focusing on this little small, it can't hurt you type thing, right?
Right.
And all of a sudden, something you didn't even expect, the entire sky fell. You know,
oh my.
All that dark, stormy, the whole thing just was bam and just hits the earth. Mm. And then the earth, even though it still looks like the earth, turns into an ocean, like, and it just hits in like a tsunami now of liquid earth, basically. Mm-hmm. is coming straight towards Denver.
Oh wow.
You know what I'm saying? And then we're all just trying to get ready and get covered and what, we just knew we're fixing to be hit by the storm, right?
Right.
And I'm like, "Oh my goodness." You know, "Oh my goodness." And then the Lord's beginning to show, you know, talk about, you know, how the Lord showed you about as you were preparing. Talk about that.
Which one?
The sun.
Oh, okay, that one. I was in this beach house facing the water. You could see the ocean. Real nice.
It's where he spends every weekend.
Yeah. I wish. And the back wall of the house was all glass. I mean, far as the right and left, everything was all glass facing the ocean. And it was a bright sunny day. I looked out in the sky. You could see the sun clearly. And it was, you know, looked like it was about 5-6 o'clock at night. But when I look at my watch, it was actually 9 o'clock at night.
So it's like you're in this house on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
It's got total glass everywhere you can look towards mm-hmm. the water right there.
Right.
And it's like about 5 o'clock, you say?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Right. So I'm looking at the sun, and all of a sudden, it just falls out of the sky and
no,
hits the
what?
Ocean. Yeah.
Say it again.
The sun falls out of the sky and hits the ocean.
No.
Yes.
Is this wild or what?
Yeah.
So yeah. The sun falls out of the sky and
right.
hits the ocean.
Right. Wow. And then immediately I start to see waves coming. But it started off as a small, you know, small waves.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw them coming toward the house. So I'm like immediately grabbing stuff and trying to get it up higher, you know, right. So we didn't lose anything, as if that was going to help. And then I run into the other room to check on my mother to make sure she was okay. And because she was in an adjacent room. But I looked out her window. And she was like on an embankment. You could just see down. So the water I knew could not reach her. So I knew she was safe. So I come back into the other room where my family was because my wife and my children were there. And I'm seeing more waves coming and they're getting bigger and bigger. And I just knew, you know, we were done.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And so the sun falls out of the sky.
Right.
Into the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And it was real confusing because it wasn't the east and the west, and it wasn't happening. You know, the sun rises in the east and sets in the west.
Right, yeah.
And it wasn't happening that way. It was all kind of
no, it was totally backwards the way
so normal wasn't taking place.
Right.
So
correct.
It was an abnormal thing at first. And then all of a sudden, it looks like it's just going to go down naturally. And then suddenly it just goes bam.
Instantly.
Hmm. It's just like God sounding the alarm. I remember... You know, Amber, my daughter, you know, she, God had given her a prophetic dream. And this prophetic dream, there was this huge tsunami, some huge, huge wave. And you had people that, you had several different people in this dream towards that wave. And it was about to come, and then it just kind of, it stayed a big wave, but it stopped. It kind of pushed pause.
Right.
And you had some people who were just mesmerized by it. And so they got in their boats and they went out to go check it out. You had other people that went and prepared. Well, obviously, those would be like the prudent people. They went and prepared, you know, for this tsunami that's coming.
Right.
And then you had most of the people who just started partying on the beach. Like, you know, many Tarkin, Eufarfin, you've been waiting the bottomless fell off on it. And so you had three different categories of people. One who didn't understand; they just thought they were mesmerized by the storm and what was taking place. And this is you hear today. You know, people are talking about the disasters and potential economic collapses. They're talking about, you know, falling within. I got Joel Rosenberg's book right here that just came in, Implosion. That's up on the VFN TV blog that you can find out more about it. I mean, it's. And so some people just got all focused on, and this is what people have a tendency to do. They just get focused on a storm and they just talk about the storm, but they never understand. You got to prepare. You got to be prudent, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there was three people with this huge wave. you know, first we're all on the beach, and from my understanding, then some went out in their boats to go check it out because it was just stuck there. You know, it's not moving yet. It's kind of paused, which I believe is the mercies of God. I think God's giving us time. That's why we're urgently talking to you on VFN Radio. We want you to share it with your friends. You know, get people. This is not about entertainment, even though we have a lot of fun time talking and enjoying this, you know, because we have nothing to fear. But we also want to warn. We want to let you know. And then there's the people that went and prepared. And that would be today's, you know, word of wisdom. A prudent man sees danger and prepares, but the simple keep going and they suffer for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And then those that stayed on the beach and they began to party. There's going to be people that don't listen. But just because, even if they're members of your own family, even if it is the man or the woman that says they're leading you. I was talking to somebody the other day, and they were saying, listen, I see all these things happening. I see danger.
Mm-hmm.
But every time I go to our church gathering, all they talk about is another message on grace or another message on just the basic milk of the word. But they're not even mentioning the fact that we're fixing to get whacked.
Right.
And if anybody should know, it should be the man or the woman who's leading you. If they can't hear from God, you know, find somebody who can hear from God. You need to hear from God yourself. You know, when you gather together in your church gathering, this is what should be said. This is what amen means, by the way. Amen does not mean, oh, that's a good song. Amen means I agree, that has agreement inside of my heart. And so the same Jesus is talking to him or her is talking to me, and that bears witness with me. And if you have a leader, I don't care how big it is or how small it is, and they're not warning you right now about what's going on, and, you know, then you need to find somebody. I got to be honest with you. You just got to find somebody that will. And if they're not hearing by now, you know, there's something else going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're just, you know, they could be caught up in some other things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not this is about unity with Jesus Christ. This is about the whole body moving in conjunction, all of us waking up. But the alarms are being sounded. You know, we have a lot of these prophetic words available on the VFN TV blog. You just go to VFNTV.com and click on the blog. It'll carry you right to it. And at the top, it has a menu. The first option on the menu is VFN Radio. And the second option is prophetic words, dreams, and visions. And that's some of them that we've posted up already. We got some serious things that God's telling us. We're trying to get a couple things in order before we tell you, because we know that it's not only going to shock you, but it's going to shock a lot of other people.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing. There's people right now. I know it's amazing, but understand this: the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they believe they were right. I mean, they believe that they were God's man.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But when God was looking them in the eye, when Jesus was looking them in the eye, they called Jesus what? Satan.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is possible that somebody who's leading something has become blind, that they can't hear. And we've even heard people that didn't even want to hear.
Yeah.
We ask questions like, don't you want to know what God's saying? Nope.
All right.
He had something to say. Nope. And so, you know, we don't know what to do with that, because we operate totally off the proceeding word of God. I mean, what is God saying? I mean,
mm-hmm.
everything that's happened, and there's things that have happened, you can go and look at what's happened, that it's happened because God said it and we did it and these things happen. And now this is what he's saying. He's saying there was a day when the church did not have the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was all written in Latin. And they thought that the commoners would mess up. They couldn't handle the word of God. Just believe it or not, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and it was amazing. And then they began to interpret the Bible, and they had the Gutenberg printing press, and they began to print Bibles, which was just a big, profound thing. And God wanted his church to have his word. So there was a season of the church that its leaders hoarded the word, did not trust the common man with the word. And Tyndale, I believe it was Tyndale, and I'll tell you more about that. And I'm looking forward to having Tracy on, because Tracy's got some great wisdom in that. You know, just, we want to get down some things about the legitimacy of the word of God and the history of the Bible and its proven. You need to hear that, because you're going to be challenged, like the Mormon Bible, for example, which says it's another testament of Jesus Christ.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know that is a horrific thing. It's not like, oh, you know, but they didn't mention it. It's like, no,
right.
You know? And so understanding that, I lost my train of thought when I was saying, no, being prepared, that there can be people that they don't want to hear God's voice. They don't want to hear it. They're the ones that says, yeah, I don't want a prophet around here. You know why? Because, you know, God may say something that changes their plans.
All right.
I mean, but look, read the book of Acts. I mean, it's not about everything that's, you know, we pay $1.3 million per baptized believer in American church, which means somebody says, yes, I received Jesus. Mm-hmm. You average all the cost that we put in to as a one church, by the way. And it's like 1.3, according to George Barna, like $1.3 million for that person to be baptized in the fiberglass pool, you know? and how did they do it before fiberglass? And I'm just trying to figure out how did they, you know, I think right. It was a Brush Arbor. You know, my father-in-law went to a revival in a Brush Arbor, which is basically a vine growing up over a wooden trellis. Mm-hmm. That kind of like a little patio type thing, and, mm-hmm. but it's not no concrete. That's how when you think about a church like Cottage Hill Assembly of God, mm-hmm. you know, it was birthed outside,
right.
under a brush arbor, you know, cool. And that wasn't too long ago. And those that are listening to VFN Radio right now, you know from whence we came, mm-hmm. and for some reason, you know, this generation, we've been hoodwinked and thinking it's all these things, and now we're trying to maintain all these things, and God's going, you better let it go, because everything that's not God's going to be a rock, you know. Mm-hmm. And the question is, you know, at that time, that the religious leaders didn't think that the common man could have the word of God, and so they were ready to kill people. Pat, they were going to kill people. Mm-hmm. They burned them at a stake. They for telling people that here, you can read the word of God. Wow. It was a horrific thing. And so a town, you know, could afford like one Bible, mm-hmm. you know, this is some of the instances. And so mm-hmm. they'd all gather as a town, and they'd have one person. They're like big Bibles, you know, Gutenberg printing press and how they did that. And the whole town would just sit as this one person would read the word of God. Can you imagine for the first time finding out, oh my goodness, wow. all these wonderful things that we know today. But it was because of those like Tyndall and all that were willing to pay the price. And so there was a day that God's people didn't have the word, and God wanted his people to have the word. The living, active, mm-hmm. sharper than double-edged sword. He wanted us to abide in the word. For the very fact that you can abide today with God and his word, you can find out more about how to do that if you don't have a plan at iabide.org. That came because the people were willing to pay the price and say, this is not right. What you're doing, how you're hoarding the word and refusing to trust God, who is living, and the Holy Spirit, who is with us, to interpret the word of God. And so the church got the word back. So God wanted his people to have his word back. Well, today something different's happening. Today, God wants his church back. Yeah. he wants you back. Mm. And I know that the religious leaders have told you, there's no way, Pat, how in the world could you, a commoner, I mean, you're only a lawyer, you know, right?
Like,
yeah, that's a pretty smart dude, right?
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You're only a CEO of a business company. If you're a CEO, I'm sure you're intelligent enough, you know, to read the word of God and to follow God. But this is what's being said, you know, quite often is like, you know, how can you be entrusted following Jesus, mm-hmm. you know?
Right.
I mean, God was so entrusting to his people because this is the whole thing. The Holy Spirit's with us, you know, his church, and that God dwells in us, and he convicts us of sin. He encourages us. He teaches us the way of the fathers. It's the Holy Spirit that reminds us of the things that we were taught. You know, yeah, we should be taught. Yeah, we should be trained up. But at some point, you should be launched out. I mean, God came, Jesus, God, when the church was formed in Jerusalem, that persecution was allowed to come upon the church to get them scattered out and launched because mm-hmm. God was confident enough that his spirit was with them. And when they went out, and we know this is true because the apostles stayed in Jerusalem. If they wanted to do away with everything, they would have took down definitely the leadership, mm-hmm. but they stayed there. And they went out and they preached Jesus and people became believers. And today you are fruit from that first persecution. I mean, they went out,
right.
Jerusalem, Samaria, and all those mm-hmm. parts. And so this is a big deal right now, because we're in the stage right now that, like they were in the days of the Bible, that they couldn't believe the commoner could actually read the word and that God was with them. And I want to encourage you, and we're going to continue in the extra hour today, you know, talking about these prophetic words and dreams and visions. But understanding this, that you don't, it's not about just, you know, being rebellious. It's not about just, you know, that's right. It's about honoring your brothers and sisters in the Lord. It's about honoring those who's established around you. It's about reasoning with those around you. But after you've reasoned and you've loved and you find out that they're not willing to listen to God and they're not believing that, that God can use all of us to be able to advance his kingdom. Listen, we got Mormons knocking on every single door in the world, it seems like. We got Islam in every jail out there trying to convert all these different people over there. And we got Christians being held captive by a pharisaical religious spirit, which Chuck Pierce talks about, that we can't even go out and win our neighbor out there. People don't even know a lot of Christians are Christians. If they didn't leave their house on Sunday at 8 a.m., they wouldn't have even known. You know, they're thinking, okay, that's like every Sunday they go somewhere, they must be a Christian, and they got that big yellow hat. You know, that's the only time that she ever wears that big yellow hat. You know, so that's got to be, that's a probably Christians. I mean, seriously.
Yeah.
Why the darkness is overtaking our neighborhoods, you know, why the darkness is ruling in our homes and in our relationships and all these different things. Listen, imagine this, and we got to get this up. We got to get this up. Make sure we get this up, that, you know, desperate for God's glory. You got to hear this. This is one of the foundational words of understanding that, you know, David got jealous when he got fearful first because he wanted God to dwell close to his home, and so he wanted to bring God's presence in, but he did it the wrong way. So what I'm talking about, you can't do it the wrong way because you can die. But good news is, if you're a believer and you do it the wrong way, you know, God will tell you in a few moments because you'll be with him in heaven. But, you know, it's good to die trying, you know. And so, but, you know, he was desperate for the glory of God to dwell in him, and God wants to dwell with you. Yes. You know, wherever you gather at, yes, he's there because you're there. You're the church. You know, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. But he wants to dwell in your home and in your neighborhood. He wants us to be as aggressive for the advancement of his kingdom as the adversary is and all of his disciples for their kingdom. And it's amazing how aggressive they are and how passive and sleepy the church is. But I understand, if you don't understand what we're talking about, I understand why it feels weighty and heavy and you feel like it can't be done, and how can I buy that many callers, and how can I actually build such a big building, and, you know, I can't afford this, and I can't afford, listen, you know, if God is with you, I'm telling you, that how can you add to him? How can you add to him? And God's only going to entrust, and only expect from you, you know, that which you're able to do and what he's giving you talents to do. We're coming, believe it or not, to the end of the first hour. I do want to say this, as we're going to be talking about in the first part of the extra hour today. We're going to continue talking about these prophetic words, but just begin to believe with me that you are in some building. You're in some building, and Jesus is walking down the street, and you look out through your stained glass window, blurrily, because you can't hardly see out those windows, and you look out, and you're going like, dude, what's happening in the street? Who is that? What's God doing? And then you say, wow, that's pretty cool. Can you come in here? And so then Jesus comes into your building and he says, you must repent. What you're doing is not right, but you will be forgiven. You know, and then he heals one of the members that are there. And you go, this is great. But then you see your leaders throw Jesus out. Didn't this happen? This happened.
Yeah.
Because they were jealous and fearful that they were going to lose something that was theirs when the church belongs only to Jesus. It does not belong to any man. No man owns anything. It's all God's. We're just stewards of what God's doing. We have to be responsible for that. But we're going to talk more about that in the extra hour. This is exciting. We got so many wonderful things we're going to share with you. God bless you. And we'll see you in the extra hour.